And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 644. Continuing our team by team previews to get you ready for the 2024 fantasy baseball season. We are in the NL Central, just got done with the Cardinals. Now we head to Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Pirates, a young team, a team that's becoming a little more interesting in the fantasy landscape of things. I always joke out that even bad teams have fantasy players on them, and you can usually get them at a discount in drafts, all things considered. So to help me preview the Pirates once again this year, coming back for round two, you find his work over at rotoballer.com. He's doing baseball, football, basketball. He's been a FSWA Rider of the Year in basketball. I've got to work with this guy. Great, great dude. Very smart, savvy guy. He has thunderdanbets.substack.com. All the fun stuff. He's on Twitter at ThunderDanDFS. Dan Palio, how you doing, my friend?
Awesome, Bubba. Thanks so much for having me, man. I remember being here last year to do the Pirates outlook. And like you said, maybe there's a few more positives this year. But I do remember last year sitting here and talking about a few things that, well, I got a few things right for the first couple of guys we're going to talk about, but plenty of stuff, too, that we got wrong and or we didn't know about. But always pumped to talk Pittsburgh sports, whether it's Pirates, Steelers, Penguins, whatever. But been a Pirates fan my whole life. And other than a few small windows there, been some losing teams, and it's been a struggle. But it's kind of like what Pirates fans have come to expect. You know, it's like kind of what you are when you're a small market team in baseball and you don't have very good ownership. You're just going to be a struggle. But anyways, yeah. I know we're excited to talk about more of the fantasy stuff. And in terms of the fantasy, there's certainly some excitement and some exciting players in Pittsburgh this year. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we can interlock the fantasy and real life all show for all I care. But you guys do have a great stadium. I still want to visit it. I've seen
everybody tells us about it. So. It is. I mean, I've been to a number of ballparks, some mostly East Coast. But yeah, I mean, it is tremendous, and most people could come in from as visiting teams tell us, you know, great park, and we're always like, well, we should could put a good team in it, but but it's a lot of fun, and it's right now it's cheap to go to games.
That's a lot of times plus.
You get into games and you're just there, and it's a beautiful night. You got this cityscape across the river. It's a lot of fun either way, and it's a pretty loyal fan base. It's not like obviously as big a fan base as the Steelers and stuff, but the people who are diehard Pirates fans and following them for a long time are good baseball fans. So,
yep. Because Dan and I are old enough to remember, obviously, but man, probably a lot of listeners aren't. That Pirates at one point were a hell of a franchise. You know, I still can picture Sid Bream, and then you have all that play at the plate, all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
But that, my point was, it was the Pirates were like in it year after year. Like, you know, that was Bobby Bonilla before the Mets foolishly paid him millions of dollars. And all these things, like they had a Bonds actually wore a size 6 hat, not 8. There's a lot of these, like Jim Leland smoking heaters in the dugout. Like I can go on and on.
Yeah.
It was a fun team, a fun young team. Andy Van Slyke. It was wild. Oh, but
take me back to my youth, man.
I think we're about the same age. So I was like, I think you'll remember this with me on this one.
Sure. Yeah. I remember going to Old Three River Stadium before they blew it up and watching those teams. And like you said, obviously my dad was a huge Pittsburgh fan, grew up in Pittsburgh and got to see the Pittsburgh Pirates in the 60s and 70s when they were pretty consistent, you know, a couple World Series titles and in the 70s too with Willie Stargell and all that. They have a pretty rich history as a franchise, but unfortunately since the 92 or what was that? Yeah, since 92, it's been rough with only that brief little couple wild card appearances in the the late 2000s there, the early McCutcheon days. We had a couple nice years and then things have been again, settling into mediocrity, if not being some of the worst teams in the league. But
let's hope things can get better. I don't know if it's going to be this year. But for fantasy purposes, we'll have some fun because they do have a few players that definitely stand out and some others that maybe people should pay a little more attention to potentially. And we'll start out with good old O'Neill Cruz, a guy we talked about last year. We know the talent's great. They just got hurt again, never came back. He played a total of 9 games in the bigs. It was not obviously a lost season. But right now his price tag is at ADP at 92 over the last 11 drafts. Is this something you could be into? Because I have not picked him yet.
Yeah, last year we both were a little were out on him, I remember, because it was a lot of hype surrounding him. It's I obviously I think some of his injury history is baked into that. Like obviously he could be going higher if we knew that he was going to be healthy the full season, or if we've seen what he could actually do a full season. But that still seems a little high to me based on we just he doesn't make a ton of contact. He's not a we haven't seen him hit for average yet. Strikes out a lot. Obviously a lot of stolen base upside, which is great, but I think it's a little high for a guy that's still. I mean, if we had seen him even play 50 or 60 games last year, we'd get a better baseline for what we can expect from him. But they played 9 games. It's a huge it to go that early on him. It's a huge question mark. Even though he's so toolsy and so such upside, I think that's really risky that early.
Yep, I'm 100% with you. That's why I'm just kind of off it for now. I need to see him actually do it and
Right.
not just tell me about it type story. So I'm with you
Right.
on that one. A player going about 3 picks after Cruz around 95 ADP is Brian Reynolds. Okay, we have seen do it for 3 consecutive seasons. 24 home runs, 12 steals last year while hitting 263. We kind of know who Brian Reynolds is now. And it's a pretty darn good ball player. So what are your thoughts on Reynolds going into this season?
Well, I'm kind of where we're, I know again we were pretty much in agreement on this last year where he was going later than this last year, and he was like had a good year. You know he's a safe guy. He can hit from both sides of the plate. You know he's gonna hit for average with some power mixed in there. Obviously he started off like what guns ablaze in the first few months. He was unreal, and then he did taper off. But he's just a really good baseball player. Like you said, we've got a nice baseline of what he can do. I don't think he's gonna exceed that much. You're probably getting him close to his ceiling there. I don't think he's gonna go beyond that much, but you really can't. I can't really argue there. If you want a nice safe pick right around there, he's about probably gonna do what he's been doing.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. That's kind of the argument or discussion I've had with other people because there's some people really, really high on Brian Reynolds. And my 2 cents is he's a 25-ish home run guy. If he gets real good, he'll hit 30. He's like a 10 to 15 steals guy. So it's like you said, identical to kind of what we've seen of late. I guess the only thing we could hope for is a better batting average than like 260 is still good in this era. And he's done the last 2 years. We've seen a much higher average too. So I guess that's the only area I think things would change with him potentially. But all in all, it's a great floor. It's a phenomenal floor that you can definitely build around on your team. So I'm with you on that one. A player I am very interested to hear your thoughts on is Ke'Bryan Hayes. ADP of 168 last year, dealt with back injury most of the season, but came back, finished with 15 homers, 10 steals, 271. That last month or so of the season, you played DFS, you saw it. He was hitting like crazy, and it was a good sign to see him finish the year that way. So are we in on Hayes going to 2024?
I really want to be. We still haven't seen him do it a full year like we talked about with Cruz, but at least we have a bigger sample. I know one of the things they talked about last year with him was maybe a change in his launch angle. He wasn't pounding the ball into the ground as much. He was elevating it, which was more line drives, more doubles, and obviously he's a guy who the Pirates really need to hit. Like he's part cut probably the one of the big keys to that offense if he can. To kind of replicate what he did down the stretch. But yeah, I mean, third base, like a position where, you know, like that late in drafts, you're like looking for somebody that if you didn't go for somebody early, I think he's a pretty compelling pick there, based on what he's done. And if he stays healthy, could have a breakout year. Yeah, I like him.
Yep, I'm with you. If the launch angle changes we saw, it was pretty drastic, something we've been waiting for a long time. If that carries over to this year and he stays healthy, like this is the guy that I think many people were talking about a few years ago. So it could be a hell of a value if he stays healthy. And I'm willing to take that chance, like you said, around 170 ADP. I can definitely see because around there you're starting to look at guys like Eugenio Suarez and Matt Chapman and others. Like I think Harris or Hayes could have like a the power speed combo that they don't have. So I'm
And
very
the
interested.
contact skills, those are all big strikeout guys, you know, we're like
True.
home run or bust. Like he's got good contact skills. He's not a guy that strikes out a lot. So it's one of those things where, like you said, if he can put it all together, he's a real toolsy player. And I'm cautiously optimistic on him, a little bit still cautiously pessimistic about O'Neal Cruz just because
Yeah.
you know. And I think it makes sense to always go over under the hype too. You know, the hype, if the hype was around Cruz, run on him. People are sleeping on Hayes, higher than the field, you know.
Yep, totally agree with you on that one. Price dictates a ton of it. Jack Sawinski, Captain Jack. This has been a fun guy. ADP of 252 right now. Power is undeniable. 26 home runs last year. Threw in 13 bags in the new steals environment. That was nice. Hit 224. Average has always been kind of a downfall of Jack, but yeah. I was actually shocked to see he's only going to be 25 this year. He's pretty darn young, all things considered. Yeah. Are you in on Captain Jack? Because I am, but I've also been told to temper it, but who knows? What are your thoughts?
I want to apologize to him first because I remember being on the show last year thing, and I kind of trashed him. I was like, this is a guy can't hit consistently. He's a huge strikeout, big hole in the swing. But he, you know, he did it. I mean, I think exceeded everyone's expectations last year and made better contact than we thought. Has a little bit of sneaky speed. I would say tempered expectations only because I'm this kind of negative Pittsburgh fan that thinks we can't have good things. And he has no pedigree. He came out of nowhere. You know, he's not like not a big past of being good. So is he going to surpass what he did last year? I don't know. Is he going to give us what he did last year or be close to that? Maybe if things go right, you know. I don't think he's like on a true trajectory to be some kind of a 30 home run guy. I don't know.
Yeah, what's really tough with Jack, and it's why I need to start tempering it, is he's so extremely streaky. Like, he's so extremely streaky that rostering him at the right times type thing can be very annoying throughout your season. Right. So that would be my thing, because he'll platoon. Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And when he's on, one of the best power hitters in baseball. When he's off, he's off. So
And the fact that he still can't really hit lefties means he's kind of going to fall into a platoon. And the Pirates don't mind platooning guys. They're going to do it at first base. They're going to do it in the outfield because, you know, they're trying to get every advantage they can. So I think those are the big negatives. It's just that, you know, you're not getting a true everyday guy. And, you know, if he goes the wrong way, if he goes, you know, hits 20 points lower and, you know, strikes out a few more times, now you're looking at a bust. So,
yep, 100%. You mentioned platooning at first base. Well, the reason they have that option is they picked up Rowdy Tellez this season. Rowdy Tellez has an ADP of 416. He only hit 13 home runs last year in 106 games. We found out he played with a wrist injury for quite some time before he went on the IL and got that taken care of. So what's your thoughts on Rowdy coming to this year in a new environment, nothing to lose, you know, very cheap?
I mean, I like Rowdy as a player. Like, he's fun, and as a big guy, I love seeing like him out there doing his thing. He burned me bad last year in some leagues that I had him in, with where I took him, and I thought he was going to have a breakout year last year, and obviously he was a huge disappointment. I'm probably going to be rooting for him as a fan, but probably not very invested in terms of fantasy, unless, you know, like you said, unless he's totally free at the end of the draft and you got, you know, nothing else. But I really can't invest in him and trust him as my you know, first base, like my actual first baseman, maybe as a backup or whatever.
No, I'm with you. It's best a backup, corner infielder, stuff like that. It's tricky to have him as the main guy at first base. I'm hoping for the best. I want to see Rowdy time. That'd be great. But
man. I mean, there's a short porch over in right field, which is nice for him. But he's got to stay healthy. He's got to make contact. At least there's, you know, there's a DH in the NL now, so he can potentially DH a little bit if they want to do that and mess around with that. But I would say, you know, low expectations, and anything over that is going to be a bonus.
Speaking of the DH role, Andrew McCutchen is returning to Pittsburgh. Had an amazing, you know, tweet about the whole, until he was playing to his DiCaprio doing the speech. Right? I'm just blanking on what movie that was called now.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street, yeah. And I'm like, come on, Bubba, you've seen this a million times. He's doing the whole speech, but he went over. It was beautiful. It was well done. It was Pirates PR or McCutchen's.
Oh, my God.
But it was great. He hit 12 home runs last year, stole 11 bags, hit 256 in 112 games. He's probably not going to play all the time, obviously, but still proves he can do a little bit. He wants to basically die a Pirate, what it feels like. ADP's 596. Like, it's tough for me to see him playing enough to return the value, but again, it's 596. So what's the value? What are your thoughts on McCutchen?
Yeah, basically that, like what you said, like if he's pretty much free at the end of drafts, obviously in the right formats, you could get some value there. Is he going to stay healthy enough? You know, hopefully he doesn't have any kind of major injury again. But like, again, we talked about this last year. He's such value. He's value added for the franchise just because people come to see him and he signs the autographs. He's such a positive guy for the franchise. So they're going to trot him out there when he's healthy. They're going to put him out there. People want to come. Maybe it's his last year, you know, see him in his last year. And so do his curtain call. So there's, I think he'll play as much as he can, is able to. But I don't know if you're going to get much beyond what you saw last year. You know, his skills are obviously declining a bit. And I, you know, can't imagine he's going to do much more than he did last year. So,
yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm rooting for him. I love Kutch. Even the little time I spent in San Francisco, it was like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
It's just his personality is just, it's awesome. You got to love it. I'm glad it's where it's good to see a player go to us back to a smaller franchise like Pittsburgh and do this, because like you said, it's great for the fans. Like, he'll sit there and sign autographs for the kids. Like, he's gonna embrace the whole thing, which is perfect. It's what you need, especially if your team's not gonna win. You need something like that. That's the brass of it all. So it's good to see. So I'm rooting for him. I'm gonna definitely be pulling for him. Not sure where in fantasy he lines up with me. I wouldn't be shocked if I stream him some week throughout the year.
Yeah,
shocked me one bit, but very tough elsewhere.
Streamer and, like, you know, DFS against lefties or something.
100% you know? Versus lefties, because they'll bat him in the middle of the order just because it's Kutch. And yeah. It's probably written into his contract. I can't bat worse than fifth. Like, I came back, so let's make a deal. I can see that. Let's talk Henry Davis here, because this is an interesting one. You know, his big-time catching prospect comes up, plays the outfield. It's 213, seven homers, three steals in 62 games. He looked outmatched, but a lot of prospects look outmatched when they come up. So I'm not holding that part against him. He was also playing a new position, which can't be easy. These looks like he's going to be – they want him to be the main catcher now because Aníbal Ríos is out for the season with an injury. Davis has an ADP at 232 on NFBC, outfield only. He'll gain catcher. That's why people are drafting him so high. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing on Henry Davis? Because the expectations were extremely high in the fantasy streets last year. And obviously didn't meet up to them.
Well, it doesn't help when they put out these hype videos of you've seen like the driveline videos and stuff. And I mean, if you watch those videos, you're like, yeah, dude, give me this guy. He looks awesome. You know, I think I'm, again, kind of high on him. The catcher eligibility is going to be huge. He's a good contact hitter, I think. I don't think we saw that last year. He only hit, 230 or 240 or whatever.
Yeah, that's bad.
And I think he's capable of being 270, 280. And obviously they want a good bat in the lineup. They don't want to have to throw some retread catcher back there that like they've done in years past, and kind of elevates the whole lineup when you actually have a catcher who can hit, who can run a little bit. So I think he's going to get a great opportunity to play, probably a good lineup spot. I can't imagine he hits any lower than fifth or sixth, right? Somewhere in there, or maybe higher. So again, I'm in on him. Hopefully he made some adjustments and, like you said, kind of his first go around got some experience and is better off this year. And I think he's one guy who, you know, does have a pedigree, does have a ton of, you know, upside. And I think he's a guy who could break out. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, there's a lot of people high on him. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this one goes. I don't have any shares yet, but I'm aggressive on some catchers ahead of him per se. But I'm curious to see how it pans out with Mr. Henry Davis. Now, a player I have a lot of shares of in draft and hold formats, because you have to draft 50 players, is Leover Pegueira. I'm really curious your thoughts on him. He's supposed to play second base for now with Cruz coming back to shortstop. We saw a little bit of power, a lot of speed in the minors, hit for average. In 59 games with the Pirates this past year, seven homers, six steals by hitting 237, and right now has an ADP of 407. So what's your thoughts on Pegueira, who at least one reason why I like him, looks like he's going to play every day.
That's the thing. If he's going to play every day, I know. You know, Juan Bay is there and was the guy last year and stole a bunch of bases. But he came up and basically forced his way into playing time. Hopefully, he can cut down on the strikeouts. Like, I'm looking at like 11 walks to 67 strikeouts. That's not great right from a middle infielder. Obviously, we want more contact, more on base skills. But in terms of power and speed, you know, seven homers and six stolen bases and only 200. You know, if you do that over the course of, 450 or 500 at-bats, you know, that those numbers will certainly play. So cautiously optimistic, but, you know, again, we haven't, it's a small sample size. We haven't seen him do it over the course of a whole year. So what'd you say? ADP is 450. So it's like something. Yeah. I'm looking.
It's down there. 407, 408.
Yeah. Oh, 408. There we go. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on him, I guess.
Yeah, I get if it just comes down to the playing time. If he plays, I'm all about that life. If the Pirates get silly on me, which they could, then it gets rough.
They can.
Yes, they definitely can. A lot of these teams can. That's what's annoying. There's a lot more platooning these days, which I get from a baseball standpoint, not fun for us. Right. Joshua Palacios, I call him one of the fighting Palacios. they both had a lot of fun this past year, the brothers in baseball, especially in September. Yeah. One of them was homering every night, it felt like, down the stretch. And in 91 games, 10 homers, 5 steals, hit .239, ADPs around .590. What's your thoughts on Joshua Palacios this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's 28 years old, so it's like one of those things where probably like a now or never kind of thing, right? Like this is his chance, right? A kind of last chance to make it or break it in the bigs. 10 homers and 250 at-bats is impressive. Like, yeah. I don't care who you are. He obviously, you know, has some tools, has some skills. The opportunity, like, is probably going to be there. Like, I assume he's going to be the fourth outfielder, or if he's going to be platooning, or, you know, it depends on how that all shakes out. I can't see him playing every day, but probably 2 out of every 3 days or whatever, which is probably enough in terms of to get us the at-bats we need. So, yeah, I mean, pretty interesting. I don't see a whole lot of other guys that are better than him that they're going to jump him or you know, demand playing time over him. So, yeah, I mean, it's, again, it's cost. Like, he's down all the way down there at what? You said
590.
Right. So what are you really risking? Right. What are you really risking down there?
100%. Just a quick question on, like, you mentioned some platoons with maybe Rowdy or Jack or even Palacios. The main platoon partners would likely be Connor Joe, Edward Olivares, who they picked up from the Royals. What are your thoughts on those guys just in general? They're both, like, pretty cheap in drafts. We've seen both have their moments when they've been able to play. But with the platoons, it's pretty tricky to get a feel on what's going on.
Yeah, Connor Joe even had quite a bit of opportunity last year. And like you said, he was kind of red, hot and cold. Both guys are like big-time splits guys, right? Like platoon, like both hit lefties really well, but have never really been able to, like, you know, put it all together for a full season. I like both players. I just don't know that either of them are going to get enough time to really be worth drafting. You know, I mean, they're going to be probably pretty committed to those platoons unless somebody's like red hot, you know, and they just want to play through it. But so it's kind of a mess.
Yeah. That's the tough part I was looking at. They're cheap, but I don't know if they play enough to be worth my time.
Right.
All right. Let's head to the bump and let's talk about the man that finally did it after all these years of everyone saying it's going to happen. Mitch Keller at age 27. Yes. Through 194 innings. Ratios weren't what you'd expect, 4-2-1, but the ex-FIP Sierra is pointing to a much better season. And when you really look at it, strikeouts improved. Like, he was the horse we've been dreaming of when it comes to Mitch Keller. And that comes at a new price tag for him. He has like an ADP of 168 now on draft day. How are we feeling about Mitch Keller this year entering his age 28 season?
Well, obviously, not the victory lap, but like we talked about Mitch Keller last year, and we're like, you know, this is the year, it's now or never, and he actually did it. He had his bumps. Obviously, he came out red hot, and then he regressed a little bit. But the fact that he then turned it back on in the second half and finished strong told me that, like, it wasn't just a fluke. Like, it wasn't just a 5 or 10 games where he was just on. Like, he made the adjustments, started throwing a sinker more, right? Like, did whatever he had to do, and finished out strong, man. 210 strikeouts, like, and making it the whole way through the season, almost 200 innings, like, it's what you want. So, I think he's figured. I think he's that guy now. I think we probably can count on him. The cost, obviously, like you said, it's not free anymore. It's not. So you have to kind of weigh who else is around there, like. Like, give me a either or. Like, who else is being drafted right around there as a starter?
As a starter with Mitch Keller, like, you have Gavin Williams right in front of him. Mm. Yeah, Jose Barrios right behind him.
Man, that's tough. Like those guys. Tough range. So you're really making a tough pick because obviously we know Barrios is pretty good and done it before. We know Williams has a ton of probably more upside in terms of his raw stuff is fantastic. But I'd probably wait and see if he fell a little bit to me a little bit later than going that high. But I still like Mitch. I think he's gonna have a good year. I just think you're not surprising anybody with him. So I wouldn't overpay because I think he's good, but he's not gonna be elite. He's for us, for the Pirates, he's amazing. He's probably gonna be a number two or number three on a lot of other staffs.
No, that's a great point. He's a two or three on most staffs. So when you're drafting him, remember that he's not your fantasy ace. He could be very good. It is interesting to see those pitchers around him because I do like Keller, but I see the other guys and I'm sitting there at that price. I kind of want a little more juice, I think, in the squeeze. Yeah. That's what's tricky there. And like Keller could still put together a great season. I'm not denying that, but it just feels a little different looking at it compared to most seasons with Mitch Keller.
I agree 100%. We're on the same page there.
And now the opposite of this is Martin Perez. We'll play the rest of the rotation, but Martin Perez, you know, we kind of know who he is. Boring vet, throw some innings, not get crushed, but probably not give you lights out shutouts very often. ADP of 600. Does that even interest you in Martin Perez?
I'll be honest. I mean, I know last year he slid back a little bit into like who he had been when he was coming off the big year in 2022. The only thing about, and this is what's interesting about the rotation, they have three lefties in there right now, right? And the two veterans and then Bailey Falter maybe as the fifth. Left-handed guys in that park, you know, that park really plays well for like fly ball pitchers who are lefties because it's a huge left field. And obviously the north side notch is like 410 or whatever. So we've seen some left-handed guys who are just mediocre-ish. Put up decent numbers there and decent have even Rich Hill was like pretty decent at home last year. So the park favors them. You know, if they're going to be trotting them out there pretty much every time, I mean, why not give Martin Perez a shot? I think he's got probably a little more juice than Gonzalez. I know we're going to talk about Marco here in a second. And we've seen him, you know, I don't know if he's going to make some more adjustments. That's kind of Martin Perez's thing was like he struggled in his 20s and it got to his 30s and he started throwing cutters and kind of fooling around with his pitch mix. And who knows if they unlock another pitch for him or it's totally a crapshoot, but down that cheap, I mean, he's a number two starter on a team. Why not?
Yeah. And the plus side is why I've always late in 50 round drafts, I'll target Pirates pitching these veterans because they have to eat up innings. They need them to eat up innings. So Martin Perez, as long as he's not getting like literally hit out of the ballpark, literally hit out of the ballpark, not the ball, him. He's probably going to throw 5 to 6 innings every time out there as long as he can. So there's a big plus to that at pick 600 in a draft and roll format. So I do agree with you there. You mentioned Marco Gonzalez. He's going at 626, about two rounds after Martin Perez. And I agree. I think Marco's got a lot more proving to do. It's weird because at one point, Marco was a much better pitcher than Martin. But between injuries and whatnot, it's kind of backtracked quite a bit. But going to Pittsburgh is also, like, again, no stress. Just go out there and pitch. So what's your thoughts on Marco?
Yeah, I mean, obviously hoping for the best with him. And he's a guy that can get ground balls when he's on. He doesn't have any overpowering stuff. He's really a guy that's got to hit his spots. And, you know, we've seen him pitch really well at times, even just a couple years ago in Seattle. He went 183 innings. He can eat innings. He pitches to contact a lot, but like, you know, like you said, he's probably a guy who, like, unless he's getting totally torched in the second inning and give up 10 runs, they're going to leave him out there, let him eat up some innings. I just like Perez a little more as a pitcher in terms of what he does and what he throws. But, you know, we'll see with Marco. 50 coming off 50 innings, though, last year, and obviously with the 5-2 ERA, like, it's question marks to his durability. Is he going to be healthy? Obviously, that's a big question.
Yeah, the durability. We'll talk about some potential call-ups maybe. There are some options, but I think they need him to stick around because we've got Luis Ortiz coming off of 86 innings with the overall, though, through about 140 innings. I'll say that much, between AAA and the bigs. So that's pretty good. You know, 4.78 ERA, not ideal. Strikeouts were not great at all. But 25 years old, going to be 26, ADP 7.24. So what's your thoughts on Luis Ortiz? Is it worth just kind of sitting and waiting, or are you willing to take a chance?
I'm probably not. I'm probably out on him. I don't really love him, and I've not been a real big fan. He had a couple nice starts last year, but overall, like, way too many walks. He's got a lot of control problems, and in general, just I think he's more of a placeholder for than anything else until they get some of these other guys up. So not super optimistic on him, to be honest.
What about Bailey Falter? He's got a 737. We've seen goods and bads from him as well. He seemed to be better as like a long man before a starter, but he's had his moments. Any interest there?
Yeah, he has that. I mean, he has flashed. We get a couple stretches with the Phillies where you thought, like, this guy has some decent stuff, has some strikeout stuff. 60 strikeouts across 80 innings. Again, him being left-handed plays well at home. I give him the benefit of the doubt there. But and then, of course, his 2022 numbers, looks like he had a ERA under 4. Again, 74 strikeouts across 84 innings. At least he's got some strikeout stuff. And at least he, is a lefty who at home has that park factor in his favor. I'm a little more intrigued by him being a younger guy too, 25, 26,
yep.
Than I am like with Marco and the other veterans.
Yep. Yeah, Falter, I think, has the upper hand on Ortiz just because Ortiz has struggled. Could go back to the minors and see what happens there. But we'll talk about the minors in a minute because there's obviously everyone knows the main name to discuss there. We'll get to him. Yeah. Let's go to the bullpen where this guy just amazes me every single season. It's David Bednar because when you look at the guy, like, and as big guy, we could say these things. Now, it doesn't look overwhelming. Like, he just does his thing. But he continuously, 67 innings last year, 39 saves. Ever since they've kind of given him the rock in the end, he's been great. 2 ERA, strikeouts have been there. He's just a steady, consistent force in the back end of that bullpen. Right now he's got an ADP of 61 going right after Raisel Iglesias, Camilo Duvall. So he's in that pocket of closers. Johan Duran goes a little before them. What's your thoughts on Bednar? Because the other reason I'm impressed with this guy, he's not that old. And every moment it seems like he could be traded. He could be traded.
Yeah.
Right. All he hears all the time. And then he just grabs the pill and goes and deals. Like, he doesn't face him one bit.
Yeah, I love the guy. I mean, he's awesome. I'm surprised he's still a Pirate. We've been waiting for him to depart for 2 years at both deadlines. I thought for sure he was gone. It is fun to watch a pitch because, like you said, he doesn't have like ridiculous – he doesn't throw 100 miles an hour, right? He just has an awesome breaking ball, and he's just this guy that, like, he's all fired up out there. He's been incredibly consistent. I just read an article this morning. I forget what it was, on Yahoo or somewhere else, that – put him in the top overvalued closers. Don't draft him. I think the only argument is that you're drafting him probably at his peak, right? At his ceiling. And I know it's tough with closers because there's, you got to grab one early, got to get one early. But I don't know. There's certainly all the signs point to him. Probably he's been pitching at or above his ceiling. That's probably the only argument I would say for not taking that as ADP. If he would fall a little bit, great. I love him. He's super consistent. He's done it before. But are you going to exceed what he's done in the past? I can't really see him doing that, especially on a team that's probably not going to win more than, 75, 80 games.
Yeah, that's one of the big talking points, is how many saves are actually going to be there. The fact he got 39 last year, pretty impressive. That's called that's cashing in on every opportunity, basically. So that's kind of the bugaboo, because I think that's one reason why in the past he was game drafted a little later. You're like, okay, I'll get like 22, 24 saves, which is still very good.
Right.
But, like, if I got a chance to get closer to 40, like, that's that elite tier we talk about.
Yeah.
The other thing is, give your Pirates credit. As much as they might not spend money and stuff, they're at least making sure they get value back for Bednar, because he still has 2 more years before he's a free agent. So he's not a free agent until 2027. So he still has ARB eligible for the next X amount of years.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good for a closer. So, like, when he was first on the block, he had like 4 more years of control. Like, they were asking for the right stuff compared to just like, oh, let's just take what we can get. Which we see.
That's the only. Yeah, only reason I think he might stick around one more year is that they just love the fact that he's under control for that much longer. So
yeah, unless someone brings that, basically, you need a massive contender like a Braves, a Dodgers, something like that. That's closer gets hurt and they need a guy badly. Then they'll pay whatever it takes. They don't care and they'll bring him over. Otherwise, I don't see a lot of teams ponying up until next year when he's got like 1 year left.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yep.
We'll see how that goes. That's the business side of things, folks. let's talk. Well, is there anybody else that interests you? They did get Aroldis Chapman. Like, we don't want Bednar to go down, obviously. But if he goes down, you'd imagine it's Chapman. But there's also some other good arms in that bullpen. Like, it's a young, pretty fun bullpen. Is there anybody else of interest for you?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, like they could have Ronzi in the bullpen this year, which is like
that could be interesting, yeah.
Really interesting, you know. Like you said, they're all similar pitchers. Like I don't know who would be the guy if it wasn't Bednar or Chapman, right? Like they all have a pretty similar kind of portfolio. I don't know what you would call it in terms of what they've done and what they offer. Yeah, I mean, Aroldis is going to get drafted because people want that next guy, right? Or they want the setup man or whatever he ends up being. But outside of that, it's kind of you're speculating on what they would do with any of these other guys. I don't really have anyone that really jumps off the paper. Obviously Ronzi, to see what they end up doing with him, but
not really. Makes a ton of sense. It's an interesting dynamic. Again, a team that might not win enough games to matter anyways, but something to think about. Now the fun part, let's talk prospects. Obviously, Mr. Skeens leads the list. What are you hearing? What are your expectations? What are your thoughts this year? Because I will say, if you do like Paul Skeens, the number one overall pick from last year's draft out of LSU, I believe, ADP is 350. So you have to pay for him if you want.
Here's the thing. Like we've talked, you and I have talked before about the Pirates and how they really tend not to brush guys or push guys through early. Is there been a more MLB ready guy though than Skeens in the last couple of years? Like, he looks like he could take the ball tomorrow and go out and throw seven innings. Like, I wish they would bring him up at least. You know, I know all the reasons they don't, the times, starting the clock on his time and everything. But part of me just thinks they know it's another lost season and they're not going to rush him. They want to get him some time in the minors. I think paying that price for him without knowing that he'll throw a pitch in the big league level seems high. And I know he's got a massive ceiling, but I don't have a lot of faith in them to embrace. Other clubs have embraced the bring the guys up early and let them go, but we haven't really seen that with the Pirates. I guess Henry Davis is up pretty early, but you know, it's a position of need for them. I don't know. It's real. I was trying to read before we got on the show to see if there's any more breaking news about him, but I haven't really seen anything. So we're all just speculating here, you know?
Yeah, he threw enough in college. Like he could, like you said, he could take it tomorrow and probably give you like 120 innings and you'd be like, cool, like no problem. I guess it just depends on do the Cardinals or do the Pirates want to start the clock. That's a thing we're seeing more of, at least with pitchers, because everyone's getting surgery now. So it's almost like, well, might as well use him while we got him. Like true. Go. Why? Because he doesn't need seasoning, like you said. He doesn't need to, like certain pitchers need to develop. He doesn't. He's good. Let's go. So right. I'm really curious to see how this plays out. Because none of us would be shocked if he's on the opening day roster, but at the same time, none of us would be shocked if he sits in AAA until after the All-Star break. So,
right.
It's a wide range.
Ideally for me, they would send him down for like three or four starts in April, let him get his footing at AAA. If he's pitching well at AAA by the time, you know, May rolls around, there's no reason he's not up at the big league club. I think that just makes sense. But again, we don't know. The Pirates have traditionally not always made the most logical decisions. So we'll see.
Yep. It'll be very interesting to see how it all transpires. Are there any other prospects of note in Pittsburgh, or are we just kind of hanging out this year?
Well, I would say Quinn Priester, but boy, was he terrible last year. Just bad. I don't know. I didn't do a real deep,
that's fine.
Big deep dive on him in terms of what went wrong, because he had pretty good numbers at AAA and in the minor leagues. But when he was up at big league, he was just getting shelled. I think there's still a little bit of hope that he could have a Mitch Keller type revival or something and kind of like figure it out. Outside of him, man, none of these guys really jump off. Just double checking my list here.
Yeah.
Nick Gonzalez came up for a little bit last year, and it's like, you know, I don't know that he's kind of being blocked now by, you know, by the fact that Cruz is back and the Peguero is going to play the second. Not a lot.
Looks like it's a little ways away. That's the way I see it. Like looking at most things, I look at like I have like James Anderson's board up. He does have he bases his on fantasy impact. He does have four in the top 50 or top 100, I should say, but they're not like ringing endorsements. So it's like not for this year type thing. It's
right. Bubba Chandler's a guy that they talk about a lot, but hasn't done a whole lot. I mean, I don't think there many of them are this year guys, or if they are, they're going to be like September type call-ups, you know?
Yep. Well, we'll see how it goes. The question I end every preview with as a fan now, not fantasy related, what are your expectations? What are you hoping to see this year from the Pittsburgh Pirates?
But I think as a fan, you want to see them. You want to see the offense get going. The pitching's probably decent enough to keep them in games. And I think Mitch Keller is going to be good, if not great, and that these other they can kind of piece together enough decent veterans alongside maybe a couple of other young guys that have a good season to keep them in games. But they I think everyone wants to see offense because too often the Pirates have just struggled offensively. And they have the guys. I mean, when you think about that 1-6, Cruz, Reynolds, Hayes, Sawinski, Kutch, or whoever's platooning with Andrew Davis, like that's us. That if all those guys have the seasons they're capable of, at least you're out there playing competitive baseball, scoring 4 or 5 runs a night, not getting shut out. You know, I think that's people want to see them not just win 80 or 85 games, they want to see them be in games. You know, you lose 6-5. That sucks, but at least that was a game. I mean, that was entertaining. That was fun versus losing 3-0, you know, getting shut out.
Yep, I'm with you. I think it's a fun team on paper. Curious to see how it all comes together, but there is some youth that I want to see where they go. And I am interested in the offensive side, as we talked about. I do have some shares of some guys just because they're at value, and I'm curious to see where it all goes. Before we head on out of here, why don't you remind everybody where they can find you, what you got going on, plug everything.
Thanks. Well, I'm Thunder Dan DFS on Twitter. I'm still covering the NBA here for a few more months with player props and betting, DFS, all that. And then baseball starts up. We'll be doing MLB DFS, right, with Rotoballer, but also with my own Substack, I'll be doing a lot of pitcher props. K-props are kind of my favorite thing, especially early in the year when they're soft. We're going to hit those. Mitch Keller was good for us last year for the first couple months of the season. And then all summer long, right? We go, you know, go with baseball. And so anyways, check me out on Twitter. I have links to my Substack there. And then of course you can all find all my work over at Roadballer. By the way, I wanted to say congrats on your FSAWA nomination for this man. Finally, about time, right?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good to finally happen. So I appreciate that. It's been a while. I've been doing it for a long time. So.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like, listen, you do something like this that's such high quality, you deserve to have the validation of your peers. And I know you that didn't need it, but it's probably nice to have it. Obviously, you've been doing this for a long time, and it's a high quality production. So congrats. And to many more years.
I appreciate it, man. And many more years, and I look forward to having you on next year again to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates. And okay, maybe in season, we'll see. I have a better schedule this year, so I plan on doing a few more shows throughout the year, because why not?
Awesome.
What else is there to do? But as always, check him out on Twitter, @ThunderDanDFS. Thanks for joining me, my friend. I appreciate it.
You got it, brother.
Everybody, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 644, your Pittsburgh Pirates 2024 team preview. Catch you all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.